And I say, long live teachers of children, because they can show children how they can save the world.
And we end with more Pete Seeger last August.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I know that I do believe.
You've been listening to Pete Seeger in his own words and song. He died in 2014 at the age of 94. For a copy of today's show, you can go to our website at democracynow.org and go there to watch all of our Pete Seeger shows, including his 90th birthday celebration featuring Bruce Springsteen and Bernice Johnson Reagan and Joan Baez. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Aaron Mate, Nermeen Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkoff, Hani Massoud, Robbie Karen, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield, Messiah Rhodes, and Charina Nadura. Mike DeFilippo and Miguel Noguera are our engineers. Special thanks to Becca Staley and Julie Crosby. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland. Stay tuned for Positively Revolting Talk Radio coming up right after these messages. It's a little after 8 o'clock. It's like 8:01, and you need to stay tuned.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 14th Annual Northwest String Summit, July 16th through the 19th at Horning's Hideout in North Plains, Oregon. Hosted by Colorado-based Yonder Mountain String Band, this year's festival includes bands such as Grinsky's Bluegrass, the infamous String Dusters, Keller Williams' Grateful Grass, Sook Twins, and more. There will also be a late-night stage, an early-morning Cascadia stage, and daytime movies and seminars. Again, that's the 14th Annual Northwest String Summit, July 16th through the 19th at Horning's Hideout in North Plains, Oregon. More information about the festival can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO is a proud co-sponsor of the Portland Underground grad school series, Portland's Urban Native Americans, What You Need to Know to Be an Ally. Classes will start July 8th and continuing for 4 weeks on Wednesdays at 7 at Southeast Uplift in Portland. Classes will focus on issues such as federal policy toward Native peoples, inequities Portland's Native peoples face, blood quantum, and more. It will also address contemporary ideas of privilege, white fragility, and the complexities of intersectionality. Again, that's Portland's Urban Native Americans, What You Need to Know to Be an Ally, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. at Southeast Uplift, 3534 Southeast Main Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
What would you have instead?
This is it.
There comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought, tell the world how you cast your vote.
Hello, hello, hello.
Good morning. It is, in fact, 5 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning.
Got
I'm
your
Ani.
Brenda Vaccaro voice on again, don't
I
you?
I told you I have no voice. I told you.
I'm Lynn.
You didn't believe me, but now you know. And this is Positively Revolting
Talk Radio.
And it's on your community radio station, KBOO Portland. It is here the 3rd of July. This year's flying by really super fast.
Yeah, they all do.
And because I was actually working at the Blues Festival yesterday and having to yell at full volume have normal conversations, I have no voice. So I'm just going to go out, get some coffee. Lynn's going to have a wonderful show, and I'll be back to sign off with you. Okay, so I'm going to attempt to power through. It is the 3rd of July. You know what that means?
What's the joke? We were gonna do a couple of jokes. What is the 4th of July to the English?
It's how they get from the 3rd to the 5th.
That's right.
Yes. Do 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 do. Okay.
Well, the 3rd is my sweetie's 50th birthday today.
Happy birthday, Southwest Constant. And tomorrow's actually the birthday of Walt Curtis.
That's right.
It's also the birthday of Sam. And it's the birthday of our nation. And that's actually what we're going to be talking about.
There is some controversy about whether it was when the Constitution was brought up or that. But we're going to go with
You're going to quibble?
No. I'm just saying there's controversy. There's controversy.
So what we have here is actually looking at the 4th. It's the anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And what does that mean? Well, not a whole lot if you happen to not be a white, landowning, Protestant male. Not a whole lot. But, you know, in grade school, we are taught rituals of patriotism and rhetoric to celebrate the 4th. My most memorable 4th was when I was almost 10, because the 4th of July, since I was a small child, I figured actually started my birthday season.
You might.
It's that Leo moon I have. I thought the fireworks were maybe for me, that I shared them with the country. And that because my birthday's 2 weeks later.
Right.
I figured, you know, you had to start with a bang. Mm-hmm. So, my most memorable 4th, however, was shortly before I turned 10. We call that the bicentennial. And it was my 1 year of absolute patriotism. Oh my God, true believer. We had so many fun activities in fourth grade leading up to that year. You know, we had like all of the Snoopy Charles Schulz characters, you know, dressed up in little American Revolutionary outfits. We had all manner of really cute posters. You know, Scholastic Books put out a whole lot of specials. But never really did we focus on the fact that this independence was really only for white, Protestant, landowning men. And when we look at the the Declaration of Independence, and it actually says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, among these life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We were told that was just true. Self-evident means of course, right? And that all men are created equal, and it's 1976, and so we can be really super proud of our egalitarian nation. Now, of course, it's sometime later, and I'm sometimes older and wiser than I was when I was 9. Sometimes not so much wiser than I was when I was, but sometimes I am. And certainly looking back now, I can say, wow, what a load of tripe. What a incredible, baloney, I think would be another word that we can say on the air, or malarkey, my favorite. Mm-hmm. Because in fact, obviously the framers of the Declaration of Independence had no such thing in mind. Self-evident that all men were created equal? Hog swallow, I say, as they were, of course, slave owning, as they didn't think much of the Catholics, as they did not consider indentured servants any kind of on equal footing.
Or wee moans.
Yeah, well, they said men for a reason. Now, we were told in 76 that that was just sort of the way speech happened, and they didn't mean nothing by it. But in fact, obviously they did, because women had no rights. So, we're looking today at some myths, and we're looking today at that war, the Revolutionary War, what I like to think of as the first American Revolutionary War, because, well, it deserves a little examination. And our favorite, Howard Zinn, before he passed,
still
totally relevant.
You know, we would have loved to have had him for a guest, but we're not that good.
I got to interview him once.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
He was a friend of KBOO for sure.
I was completely tongue-tied and let my co-interviewer, we call her Teresa, do most of the questions, because I just sort of sat there and went, wow, that's Howard Zinn. Wow, that's Howard. I got total fangirl syndrome. Anyway, but we do have his writings, which Lynn can read.
I just so want to read some things. My voice not that, you know, you just bring back memories of Brenda Vaccaro. I like that.
Super
this was
sexy.
From an article that Howard Zinn wrote, obviously a few years ago, called Untold Truths About the American Revolution. And I'm going to not read the entire thing. I just wanted to get some really tasty bits. And he's talking about, is this a good cause? Does this deserve a war? He thinks Howard always asks people to ask themselves questions. Imagine that. He says, be careful making that jump. The American Revolution, independence from England, was a just cause. Why should colonists be occupied by and oppressed by England? Therefore, we have to go to Revolutionary War. How many people died? It's hard to tell, he says. 25,000, 50,000 people. But out of a population of 3 million, it's about equivalent to 2.5 million people dying to get England off our backs. You may consider that worth it, you may not. Canada is independent from England, sort of. I mean, they are still considered part of the Commonwealth, but pretty much they do what they want to do. As Howard said, not a bad society. Canadians have good health care. They have things we don't have. They didn't fight a bloody Revolutionary War. Why do we assume we have to fight a bloody Revolutionary War to get rid of England? In the year before the famous shots were fired, that's Lexington and Concord, farmers in western Massachusetts had driven the British government out without firing a single shot. They had established by the thousands and thousands around the courthouse and colonial offices, and they just took over. They said goodbye to the British officials. It was a nonviolent revolution that took place, but then came Lexington and Concord, and the revolution became violent, and it was run not by farmers, but by the founding fathers. And the farmers were rather poor, and the founding fathers were rather rich. We actually gained, who gained from the victory over England? It's very important to ask about any policy, and especially about war. Who gained what? And it's very important to notice differences among the various parts of the population. That's one thing we were not accustomed to in this country, because we don't think in terms of class. We think, oh, we all have the same interest. I don't know if people think that anymore. That may date this article. For instance, we think that we had the same interest in independence from England. We did not all have these same interests. Do you think the Indians cared about independence from England? No, in fact, the Indians were unhappy that we want independence from England because England had a set line in the proclamation of 1763 that said you couldn't go westward into Indian territory. They didn't do it because they loved the native folks. They did it because they didn't want trouble. When Britain was defeated in the Revolutionary War, that line was eliminated, and now the way was open for colonists to move westwards across the continent, which they did for the next 100 years, committing massacres and making sure that they destroyed Indian civilization. So what did the so when you look at the American Revolution, there's a fact you have to take into consideration. No, Indians didn't benefit. Did black people benefit from the American Revolution? Slavery was there before, it was there after. No. What about class divisions? Did ordinary white farmers have the same interest in the revolution as John Hancock or Morris or Madison or Jefferson or slaveholders or bondholders? Have to remember them? Not really. It was not at all the common people getting together to fight against England. They had a very hard time assembling an army. They took poor guys, promised them land, they browbeat people, and oh yes, they inspired people with the Declaration of Independence. Howard Zinn says, it's always good if you want people to go to war to give them a good document and have good words. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Of course, when they wrote the Constitution, they were more concerned with property than life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Yes, you should take notice of these little things. There were class divisions. We were a class society from the beginning. America started off as a society of rich and poor people with enormous grants of land and people with no land. And there were riots. There were bread riots in Boston and riots and rebellions all over the colonies of poor against rich, of tenants breaking into jails and releasing people who were in prison for non-payment of debt. Wee-haw! There was class conflict. We try to pretend in this country that we're one happy family. I don't know when that has happened, but we're not, says Howard.
In 1976, actually, I remember us being told in that same fourth grade class we were, in fact, a big melting pot of
happy the melting families. Pot. I have totally forgotten that. Thank you for reminding me. The revolution was not a simple...
I could sing the Schoolhouse Rock version.
No. Okay. The American Revolution was not a simple affair of us against them, and not everyone thought they would benefit from the revolution. So these are the questions we have to guess. Once, and Howard says, once a historical event has taken place, it comes very hard to imagine that you could have achieved a result some other way. When something is happening in history, it takes a certain air of inevitability on. This is the only way it could have happened. He says, we're smart in so many ways. Surely we should be able to understand that in between war and passivity, there are 1,000 possibilities. Thank you, Howard. So that was the American Revolution. Follow the money, I say. The first American Revolution.
Yes. Well, in any revolution, I would say follow the money.
Yeah.
Because that's usually indicative of how things are about to turn out. It's about 17 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning, and you are listening to KABU, your community radio station. If you would like to join us in this conversation this morning, please, please do. You can join us at 503-231-8187. That's 503-231-8187. You can also find us on Facebook at Positively Revolting. And you can follow along all week on Twitter as we find tasty tidbits to send your direction at Positive Revolt. So, and with that, let's go ahead and talk to our first caller, Jane.
Good morning.
James.
Thank you for taking my call. Everything you say is true. It is a perspective that is... I'm trying to say this in a way that I'm trying not to be controversial, for lack of a better word.
I shouldn't worry much about that.
Well, I get hung up on often, and I don't like being hung up on.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, so, usually...
It's one of those things. Go ahead.
Is that the ruling class does a very good job of equating what they do with what the people do. And, it, you know, it's kind of like in Orwell's book, 1984, you equate a truth with a lie so as to neuter the truth. They're very good at that. And I'll give you an example of first of all, federalism was an idea that Ben Franklin got from the Iroquois, which we've discussed this before, and you are aware of that. It is a tribal or communal system which gives each community self-determination through their authority, through the vote, through a democratically elected representatives. Okay, so theoretically speaking, a group of gay, lesbian, transgender people could have come together in community after the Constitution was ratified and set up a community and said only gay and transgendered people can vote and participate in the economy of this community. That way they could have strong community. And that was the idea behind federalism. And this idea that equating slavery, which is what the imperials brought to America, and equating the caste system, the rich and the poor and all that is something that was part of the old world, and you're equating part of the old world with what we were trying to create in the new world. We were never able to create what happened in the new world because the imperialists have pretty much done a good job of
James, I think I've totally lost your point.
I know you don't like to be hung up on, but everybody gets their chance.
And I actually want to hang up on you. I want to just say,
what?
I don't get what? It. It's like, I understand you're trying to explain federalism in your lights. That's cool. But let's face facts. The war was fought. The Declaration of Independence was written. And history is such that there are these, one could say paradoxes, one could say lies, or one could say interesting perspectives that allows people to write things like, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that we're all in this together, sort of a rah-rah mentality, while we in fact deny rights to women, while we in fact deny rights to slaves, indentured servants, Catholics. I mean, while we, in fact, hold these truths to be self-evident, that we, small group of men that signed this document and our ilk, are on top of the heap, is really what they meant. And so you could say, yes, some other group could have done that. Point is, no other group did, and that wouldn't have been right either.
Well, it's... But see, if we are to unite the people and throw off the ruling class, we have to come together, and we can't come together if you're throwing in equating with what the people did with what imperials did.
Which people are you talking about, James?
See, I don't get where you're making.
James, I'm talking about people coming together to overthrow the ruling class. That's awesome.
They're waging genocide on the poor in this country now, and they're slowly dividing us even further. And what I'm saying is, by empowering community, it could unite the people, and we could throw off.
So where are you disagreeing with us, James?
Because
I don't get it. Uniting community, overthrowing the overlords. Yeah, okay, we're all there together. What's the damage? Where are we in disagreement?
Well, I have never heard anyone on the left say that they... I've always heard the left talk about...
What have you heard us say, James? The left is very, very diverse.
Broad. That's a very broad
definition.
There is
no monolithic the left. So what have you heard us say?
Well, from my perspective, anyone who is to the left of a strict constructionist, constitutional constructionist, which includes the GOP...
I don't care who it includes, James. What's your point? What's your point?
You got about a minute to give us your point.
My point is,
that's a lot.
Unite around the principles of the Constitution, which made the individual sovereign... And which placed...
But do you know who the individual was that they were talking about? They were talking about white landowners.
And take control of the economy away from...
So you still want white landowners?
The central authority, like I said...
To rule.
Jews can come together in community. Blacks can come together in community. It will be up to the individuals to decide what community they want to live in. And we can all live in our... We can all have it our way.
All right, well, there you go. All right, James, bye-bye. And you did get 6 minutes, so you can't really say we hung up on you, can you? 503-231-8187 is the number to call. And I still, it's like I heard him say that three different times. And I think where he's going with this is, if we all want to live in little exclusionist colonies where I can surround myself with exactly the people who look like me, think like me, and exclude all others from all economic participation and resources, then we could all be separate but equal side by side, which
in our own little gated communities
doesn't actually work in the real world. Okay, let's go ahead. 503-231 8187 is the number to call.
PositivelyRevolting@gmail.com if you want to write instead of talk. But it's a talk radio show, so.
And then there's the ever popular Facebook where you can find us as Positively Revolting.
And we're even on the Twitters, I tell you what.
It's true, but I'm not monitoring them at this moment.
Well,
you can tweet to us, but I won't get it for a half an hour. There's only so much I can track while I'm on the air.
It's true.
All right. And let's go ahead and take our next caller. Barry, good morning. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I just thought I'd add a little something that I understand the revolution to be for. One of the considerations was that a little while before that, the revolution, England and France, the whole slave trade was being banned in Europe, and we did not want, if we remained a colony of England, we would have had to accommodate slavery banning, and that was not going to happen. Our whole society at that time was
right. There's a really good article that Teresa Mitchell just sent us that we're pulling up called "Was the American Revolution Fought to Save Slavery?" And it is where is it? It is in Counterpunch.
Go ahead, Barry.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, you've got the article. I just wanted to put that out there because that was a huge reason why we had to disassociate ourselves with England, so we aren't so we don't accommodate the slavery ban. And our society was built on that, and the plantation owners in the South were not going to have that. And even in the North, we were dependent on the slave trade, and that was one of the big reasons. At least I have been educated to understand the revolution, not just the Tea Party and taxation.
Right.
That's just a little bit that I threw out.
Well, thank you. Thanks, Barry, for doing that.
You could affirm that with that other article. So thank you very much.
Thank you. We affirm. though I have not actually been able to read nor digest the article, having ran across it about a minute and a half ago. But thank you, Barry, for bringing up that perspective. I think it's super important to look at the many reasons why a group of privileged men decided to fight a revolutionary war. And again, many people fought in it that had different interests. They fought together. They may not have willingly fought together, as there were there was a conscription of sorts, press gangs, to make sure that you fought on one side or the other, because both sides conscripted.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, if you're a young man, take to the hills and stay there. Anyways, it was, again, several reasons, but the idea of establishing a free nation where all can enjoy the fruits of their labors on an equal setting was never really amongst them. And that's our point today, that was a myth. And actually, I would entertain calls about other myths of that, you know, we were taught in school. This is that time of year for me that I really, really think about what we learned in school and how much malarkey it was.
Would you like to hear one of my favorites?
I would.
Duck and cover, that you could go under your desk and be saved from a nuclear disaster.
It's even the dirt that does it.
And one time we lined up in the halls just to, and we're supposed to sort of crouch down by our little lockers. And that was supposed to, they were, you know, tried in different ways to give us the thought that the school was the safe place to be during a nuclear Holocaust. I always thought right in the middle of it all is the best place to be so you can disintegrate. But then...
Oh, Lynn. She's such a lively gal. I do appreciate very much what Zinn mentions in his... Well, I always appreciate Zinn. But I think it's super important to look at, again, what was happening with Native American relations, how, in fact, England had some treaties and had recognized them as sovereign peoples to some point. I think there is still some disagreement as to how sovereign and how much they would have honored those treaties, but we can absolutely say that the colonizers, those antecessors of ours, the freedom fighters, certainly did not make treaties nor honor.
Well, and they were encroaching, even with the proclamation of 1763, I believe they were encroaching. Because that's sort of, it's a national pastime, has been forever.
Indeed.
Encroaching into other people's spaces, yeah.
Well, let's go ahead and, excuse me, talk to Pear now while I get my voice back. Pear,
good morning,
it's all
Pear.
On you. Morning, Pear.
Did anybody mention the thing in the Declaration of Independence about the merciless savages?
I haven't yet, but
oh,
I'm
well,
glad
this,
you're here.
This is one of the colonists' big complaints against King George that he aroused, and it was the quote merciless savages, you know, and so yes, I think part of the deal was that the English would not allow the colonists to spread beyond the Appalachian Mountains.
Yes.
And, of course, they won their freedom to spread beyond the Appalachian Mountains.
And then some.
And then some, yes.
And
here
beyond.
We are, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, actually.
Civilization and beyond.
It was, I'm really glad you brought that up because that's where I was going next with, you know, looking at our treatment of natives and who benefited in this war. It was probably about 20 years ago. I had been throwing around copies of the Declaration of Independence as though they were gospel for a bit, because even though I understood the framers hadn't actually had that in mind so much, I thought that the first couple paragraphs made for excellent propaganda. Like maybe we could get people buying into this idea that we could create a society wherein it is self-evident that all people, in fact, are created equal. And so I was doing that, and then I decided to go ahead and read the whole thing because I hadn't for a long time, say maybe since I was in grade school, and came across that line. And I have to say I have not been able to pass out the Declaration of Independence since, because really, it's kind of abhorrent.
Oh, yeah.
The line you're talking about, Pear, it's a long list of incriminations to King George. The line is, the history of the present King of Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over the states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. He has refused his assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for public good. Yada, 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 yada. It does go on for some time. And the last line of that is, he has excited domestic insurrections amongst us and has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers the merciless Indian savages, whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. So, anyway, there it goes on at some length again. And I have to say, I keep coming up with words I can't say on the air. Having hard. Malarkey. Malarkey. We'll keep up with malarkey.
Today. Yes, yes. You got to copyright that phrase.
No, it's for everybody.
Poop all right, thank you.
Yes.
All right.
feel free.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
May
thank
I
you very
free,
much.
Free, but you feel free.
Right.
Anyway, well, keep the show going.
All right, we'll try.
Bye.
Thanks, Peter.
Bye-bye. Yeah, and so again, you know, I wonder if other folks out there like myself have been surprised. If you've read any of our founding documents, having some kind of esteem for them, because, you know, there's that nostalgia from fourth grade when we, you know, really wallow in them for a little bit. I'm wondering if you've read them recently and how shocking you found them, because I find them pretty shocking.
Well, and you know, for a long time, I was okay with the argument, well, that was the times.
Yeah.
That was just how it was then. It was pretty shocking for them to even say that we shouldn't be governed by a monarch. And yet, now we're sort of governed by monarchs. Every state was kind of, all the colonies were sort of their own corporations. I mean, it was, in some ways, it was the beginning of corporate rule. I'll put that out there. What do people say about that? The American Revolution was the beginning of corporate rule in some ways. Because they did not want to be ruled by monarchs anymore. And yet who was...
But that, I think there's a lot to go between monarchs and corporations. I mean, they're more or less the same thing, aren't they?
I don't know. Well, no, well, because...
King Monsanto?
Well,
anyone?
They have become such, yes.
Anyway, all right. Sandy, good morning. You are on the air.
Hello.
Hi. Hello.
I wanted to let you know that I was disappointed in earlier how you handled that first caller, I believe it was first caller, who was trying to talk about the merits of the Declaration of Independence and the original intent, at least to some degree, in the minds of the writers of the documents and so on. There are ideals that people do try to effect into a gradual change. Yeah, the document was manipulation, just like everything else in this society is, including messages in your show. For instance, if I were to go whole hog with every message you have on KABU, I would be just as, you know, I could be just as scorned as you're scorning other people that like to respect it. Constitution to in any way that they want to. It's not whole hog. Everybody's not agreeing with the white suppression and so on that you're going on about, but I don't agree, say, with the backgrounds that many people on cable come from. I don't agree with the ways they live.
Can I just get one little word in here? We are not proponent. We are talking about thinking about things. We are talking about thinking about things critically, with critical thinking. That's what we are talking about. I am sorry that that's your impression, but that's what that is. But you don't get to disagree with people's lifestyles on our show. That's something
she can,
but you don't get to criticize them. We're not talking about that at the moment. And
People nowadays exist as well as they can with all of the prior junk that has been put into us in our societies. And while they try to break out and make changes, they should be respected for that. He was trying to bring the best aspects of the Declaration of Independence forward, showing that people should be able to have a hopeful aim.
Once again.
And appreciate some of the message behind it, despite whoever put it together, because I'm trying to respect KABU, for instance, despite the disrespect I hear for callers with any contradiction whatsoever to your ridicule, okay?
Okay.
And I did not like hearing the ridicule on KABU.
I got to say a couple of things. I didn't actually ridicule him. I was disagreeing with him. That's different.
It came across as ridicule.
He got 6 minutes on the air, and right now you've had about four. And so it's true.
That's a disrespectful, very juvenile way to act. On the air.
That is your opinion anywhere.
I really don't have any interest in arguing with you about that. What I want to know is actually what your opinion is of the topic. That's what I'd actually like to hear.
My opinion has exactly to do with everybody else that probably did not like what you were doing, interrupting the man so much that his 6 minutes was mostly you.
We get that. It's starting to loop now. We understand that you didn't like how we treated James, and thank you very much for your comment. But I
want to hear what you have to say about, our Revolutionary War, the reasons for which it was fought, and where we're at now.
I'm trying to tell you. I am a German person who's not apologetic. I'm white, I'm not apologetic. And I've had to put up with prejudiced idiots all my life who assume I have their same viewpoint. But at the other end of the spectrum, I've had to put up with everybody else.
I'm sorry that you've had such a hard life.
I'm really curious. First of all, KABU is not a monolithic environment. We have program hosts.
When you,
that actually disagree with each other quite a lot. And if you actually, I don't think anyone could actually agree with everything on KBOO, because we'd be completely...
That's not our goal.
We wouldn't make sense, right? Because we have program hosts that disagree with each other quite a lot.
And yet you're not letting people agree with any aspect of the Constitution because some...
No, you can agree with many aspects of the Constitution. I'm all about many aspects of the Constitution.
You can agree with...
And I might, in fact, critique your argument at times, because that's what we do. We converse.
He was trying to point out the good aspect.
No, what are you doing, ma'am? He's already had his 6 minutes. What are you doing?
I'm pointing out a fine point that you don't seem to be able to grasp.
Okay.
It's not about all of these wider, clunky subjects. It's about the fine points that you cannot dismiss viewpoints or the Declaration's intent just because the people who delivered it were faulty. None of us are perfect.
What do you say about that line about the merciless Indian savages?
They came with prejudices, just as you do. Look how prejudiced you are against anybody that's white.
I'm white. I'm white. My lover's white.
That's an interpretation of yours.
Many of my friends are white. I think that's a fascinating thing.
I've run into prejudices of every color, every religion, every non-religion. I've run into prejudices everywhere. And
sure.
If you're truthful, you'll admit everybody has their limitations.
Sure.
It's prejudices. It's ignorance. That's all it is.
So when they
talk with one another, they'd rather ridicule and pigeonhole and separate. And that
pigeonhole. I think that that's actually
was to unite.
Cool.
Except that they had their little mistake of their prejudice showing through, and yeah, mostly it was put forward by the guys that had an agenda, right?
I don't get how you're disagreeing with us, but you know what? We are, and I really appreciate you calling. Thank you very much for your. But your time is up. We've got other callers, and like I said, thanks for calling, and we're going to go on to Janet.
I think you can say crap.
Okay,
but thank you. But
thank
you for asking. but do it before you say it next time. But that's okay. We were good.
Okay, good.
What have you to say?
Well, I would like to say that those two calls, they do provide for some hilarity because they're so obnoxious and just ridiculous. But at the same time, it seems like they're almost like the trolls of talk radio and cable, where they try to burn up as much time as they can saying things and, you know, that are, so you get kind of caught up in this ridiculous debate. And that's, I don't know. I think that's something to be noted. That is all I would say. But, I mean, their arguments are always lame. But, and, you know, I'm just saying this as a responding, you know, I'm not saying that you're saying they're lame or that you should not give them the time and the consideration that you do. I'm just saying that, you know, the trolls are...
The trolls are trolling. It's true.
Yeah.
Thanks very much, Jenny, for your call this morning.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. And Francis, you are on the air. Good morning, Francis.
Hey, I love Howard Zinn. And I feel that the reason he was sharing this information is for us to realize that a lot of the same stuff is going on now, and it's all about the money. And I don't... The Constitution and the Declaration of Independence are two separate things. And the Constitution that was created by this nation, to me, the most precious document in that of all of our documents, is the Bill of Rights and the amendments. And as President Obama likes to say, we're trying to make it a more perfect union. Everybody needs to acknowledge what was wrong, though, and I think that's what you guys try to do. Because until the wrongs are acknowledged and some kind of attempts at reparation are made, we're still going to be in this little vicious little circle.
Yeah.
And the error in our ways, that, as far as I'm concerned, is allowing corporations to be considered the people. And
yeah.
once we figured out a way to remove that status given to corporations, we can control them. Right now, they're out of control.
Mm-hmm.
So we just have to recognize the goodness of some of those documents and how they can be used now,
mm-hmm.
when we are supposed to now acknowledge that everybody is equal and everyone should have equal opportunity. So use that document now to make that happen. But we can't do it as long as we let corporations be considered one of us, because they're
right.
not. So I think there's hope for us still.
Move to amend.
Even though the intent has always seemed to be profit.
Right.
Rather than justice.
Well,
our guest last
not,
week...
Not just profits, but in fact concentration of power to a small elite group.
And, you know, our
right.
guest last week, Guy McPherson, was saying that the big problem with most things is industrialized civilization, and that was... it was not the Industrial Revolution yet, but they were gearing up for it. It was coming.
Right, but that's always the intent of those in control that could have been a good thing in some ways. You know, it's just how we do it. How
right,
we use
indeed.
It. And
right.
as long as it's about exploitation rather than justice for all, it's not going to be correct. But
yep.
there's some good things in those documents that we should promote, because, as the president says, we're trying to make it a better state. A better union than what it has been. But we have to acknowledge what we did wrong, and that's what people, so I guess maybe they're afraid that they're going to be punished for all the bad things, but as the people at that funeral said, they can be forgiven, but they have to acknowledge that they did something wrong.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In order to change. All right, take care.
Thank you very much, Francis.
And good morning, Elliot. You're on the air.
Yes, I'm going to make a comment about a possible declaration of independence from cable.
Okay.
I want to make it absolutely clear. I have no personal interest in being on the radio. But the flaw of the American Revolution was that, it was supposed to be about freedom and creativity, and it actually kept a small group in power for a long period of time. Now, I'm familiar with what has gone on throughout Pacifica around the country in the last 20 years, and when I came to Portland, I was kind of shocked to see that the same basic pattern exists at Cable, the pattern being that you have a very creative and politically progressive city, lots and lots of articulate people, and yet you look at how much change there is over 5, 10, or even 20 years in the staff who are allowed to exercise their personal free speech Monday to Friday from 8 a.m. to noon, and there's almost no change. Almost no one, and I don't mean specifically someone young, but, you know, it's nice to have some younger people come in. No one is allowed to be on the air to try out a new program. And the flaw that
can
I see...
Can I send you the definition of sweeping generalization?
The flaw is okay. Very simple. The left has clearly failed comprehensively to persuade the American people to its point of view. And when people, when enterprises fail in their objectives, the normal thing to do is to rejigger...
Okay,
personnel.
Elliot. First of all, I have absolutely no idea these connections. But what I do want to say, apparently our engineer took you out. I don't know. But that was not my call. Okay, because I actually like to engage in people I disagree with. That's one of those things. Okay, I guess you're still there. Good. I just want to say you're wrong. First of all, and I don't actually say that unequivocally much.
But anyway.
I gotta say, if you think that there's been no personnel changes, first of all, there's staff, there's volunteers. I'm guessing that you mean anyone on the air as staff. That's also incorrect. In fact, everyone on the air is a volunteer. I volunteer to be on the air, even though I am one of the paid staff. that's a wholly different thing. And I'm not going to really spend a whole lot of time when we want to focus on the American Revolutionary War talking about KABU internal politics and programs. But I got to say, if in fact you look at the last 5 years or 10 years, or 3 years, you will in fact find new volunteers on the air. You will in fact find new programs on the air. And if you actually got engaged a little bit, you would find what those processes are. If you don't want to be on the air, that's cool. No one's going to force you, but it does take a fair amount of time and energy to do programming. I can tell you we've had programs that have remained open for many months looking for applicants because it takes a lot of time and energy to do this. And that's what I can say. I'm sorry, you're really ill-informed. And onwards. Reggae Bob.
Reggae Bob.
I hear you're on hold. Hey, Reggae Bob.
Good morning. Positively Revolting Revolutionary Radio.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Too bad that the last gentleman doesn't, I didn't call to talk about other folks and their listening habits, but if he'd have been listening, isn't there a brand new show starting at about 9 o'clock this morning, a brand new show on cable?
Yeah.
In fact.
And the host is not a fairly young person, but she's an experienced radio programmer. Yeah.
And there's a lot of young, new voices on there.
I see. I hear.
Real quick, we talked about earlier, had a good question about when we were growing up and things we did. Remember the 4th of July. And we were, low-key, fireworks, not a whole lot of money. I guess, that's how we rolled in our family and our neighborhood. But something I've done over the last 10 years is I bumped up on a movie that I watch every single 4th of July, if I can. And the movie is called Born on the 4th of July, Tom Cruise.
I've heard of this and I've actually never seen it.
Ani, you would dig it.
Okay.
It is all about...
And Tom Cruise was born also on the 4th of July, as was Ron Kovic, who I knew. I met Ron Kovic back in the day in Chicago.
Very good. And the story is all about, the real nice little white family growing up in little nice white America. Tom Cruise, good little boy, grows up playing war, cowboys and Indians, all that American stuff. And then he joins and he volunteers for the Army. I can't remember if he was drafted or volunteered. And then once he got into the Army and once he became a disabled veteran and once he saw how he was treated, once he wasn't all nice and beautiful and perfect and white.
He helped start Vietnam Veterans Against the War. Yes, he did.
Born on the 4th of July, Ani, please watch it.
All right.
A lot of your views will be expressed in that movie. Take that.
Cool. I always appreciate suggestions from you, Reggae Bob.
And I'm looking forward to that brand new show at 9 o'clock.
How about that? Thank you
brand
so much.
Brand new, you say.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you very much, Reggae Bob. Wild and woolly morning. Not that many people seem to want to talk about the American Revolutionary War.
It's a
curious thing.
Well, when we were researching this, it was very hard to find anything that didn't call everyone that fought a patriot. It was like there was, it was very difficult to find any dissenting view at all. When I was researching, I knew I just sort of went to Howard Zinn immediately because I figured he'd be thinking, critically thinking. I say.
And you do. Mm-hmm. Patriot actually comes from the French patriote, fellow countryman, from the Greek patrios, one of one's fathers or fatherland. So, there is that crossover
into a nationalistic,
between
thing.
Patriot and patriarchy. I just want to mention that.
Since that is a topic we often...
just sort of, they seem to go together sometimes.
Try to question, yes.
So... In the few minutes remaining, if you would like to contact us, you can. 503-231-8187. On Facebook, you can find us, Positively Revolting. You can follow us in the Twitterverse, at Positive Revolt. You can email us, I always forget that part, positivelyrevolting@gmail.com. In the last few minutes, I guess where I would like to take this is looking at what I learned in fourth grade that I really liked, that I would like to carry on. And I think pretty much, Francis kind of went there, that It would be super, super fantastic if, in fact, we
super
could
duper.
Rally around the idea that we are all equal. That we can get rid of all men are created equal, because that's not just a linguistic habit, right? That actually means something. Mm-hmm. That we are, as a people, created equal, and that we have the rights to life, to liberty. What is liberty? Well, it's interesting. We can talk for years on liberty and freedom. What is the pursuit of happiness? Yes, those are good things. I would like to see that. The rest of this, we can call into some question, and how it's been applied is definitely poor. But that phrase, that one central nugget, that it would be super good if, in fact, we could come together and recreate, because it hasn't been created in the first place, create a society where we are equal. Egalitarianism, land and liberty, right? That that this is really the principles I would like to see as we move forward creating new society together.
That sounds good, though. I always remember in the Kami Pinko College that I went to, they said that pursuit of happiness, in that what they were talking about, pursuit of property.
Yeah.
The big issue still stands. If we could have shared with the people that were here, it's still a heinous act of genocide that
the country was founded in genocide, right, and slavery. And it really, we have continued those abhorrent practices ever since. So it is well time to look at how we actually find egalitarianism. How do we get to egalitarianism from such a deeply and steeply stratified society? How do we do that? How can we come together? How do we do reparations in a way that makes sense? How can we move forward from such an abhorrent history? Those are my meditations for the 4th of July. I like to share them with you.
Very nice.
And with that, we are out of time. So we encourage you to join us next week, when it will be Lynn as I explore the wilds of
Venita. And we're going to talk about the Renters Assembly that's coming up.
And have a fabulous, fabulous week. Enjoy. And I always like to think of this as Codependence Day or Interdependence Day, because really, independence doesn't mean that much. It's sort of weak and vulnerable when you think about it. We are stronger together. So let's celebrate Interdependence Day, and let's look at forming a society actually based on the ideals of egalitarianism.
Excellent.
Onwards.
Off we go.
To my birthday season and beyond.
What would you have instead?
No, this is it.
There comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought will tell the world how you cast your vote.
And it's coming up on 9 a.m. here on KBOO Portland. And coming up at 9, we're going to hear the debut of a new program called Intersections Radio with host Sarika Mehta. She aims to connect communities through unique and unexpected stories. This month, she focuses on people of color with disabilities. At 10, Air Cascadia is off today, so we'll go straight to Flashpoints, featuring an update on Cuba Also, we'll hear an exclusive report on the mass chaos and violence at the border between Haiti and the Dominican Republic. At 11 on the Radio Zine, we'll hear a short interview with academic radical Cornel West, who was in Portland for the Unitarian Universalist Convention last week. And we hear Valerie Carey, the sister of Miriam Carey, a woman who was shot and killed during an incident on Capitol Hill in 2013. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a current member, you can become one. Go to kboo.fm and click on Donate Today.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 14th Annual Northwest String Summit, July 16th through the 19th at Horning's Hideout in North Plains, Oregon. Hosted by Colorado-based Yonder Mountain String Band, this year's festival includes bands such as Grinsky's Bluegrass, the infamous String Dusters, Keller Williams' Grateful Grass, Sook Twins, and more. There will also be a late-night stage, an early-morning Cascadia stage, and daytime movies and seminars. Again, that's the 14th Annual Northwest String Summit, July 16th through the 19th.